This is CliffCentral.com. On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lindekew, the good things guy. We're starting a little bit late today because that's how we roll. Tuesdays, rock.
Good morning.
We can do whatever we want. This is our show. This is Unradio. We do whatever we want.
That's, well, maybe today.
That's
maybe
how
not
we roll.
Always.
Just for today.
Yeah.
Just for today. Kerry and I host the good stuff every Tuesday, and we're here to remind you that there are still so many good things in the world and South Africa right now. So inspired, so proudly South African. So much of good news. That's what we say, right?
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. So we're in studio. We're going to be bringing you, we're going to try and unpack what's going on in South Africa and bring you good news in that front. We're also going to chat to a bunch of students from Vega who created something really flippin' cool for Lead SA. I'm going to do that by myself because Kerry doesn't deserve to speak to them.
Thanks.
I'm just joking, man.
I only deserve something sometimes, but because it's Women's Month and it's Women's Day tomorrow, I think you should give me a little bit of leniency.
Okay, Kerry can have all the leniency today. We're also going to do the top five and do the catch-up of all the regular stuff that's going on in the world and South Africa and the studio and Cliff Central and all of those good things. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can tweet us, CliffCentral.com, Brent Lindekew, Kerry Stain. You can also send us a message via our official WeChat account or give us a call on 0861-555-189. Or they can WhatsApp, Kerr.
Yes, on 079-748-2090.
She's learnt that number off by heart.
Well, 079-748-2090.
It's like she's giving out her own number. If you want to have a date with Kerry, you can just...
079-748-2090. Go, 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 do it.
Do it, do it, do it. Okay, so the vote of no confidence is happening today.
Yep.
It's happening today. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's about time. And like they were saying yesterday, that, you know, we can no longer watch our country fall into disarray.
Here's the thing, right? The vote of no confidence is happening today. It's the 8th of the 8th, and it's the 8th time that we're doing this ballot. And this time it's going to be a secret ballot. But I can't help but think, and I'm almost going to be cynical about this, I can't help but think that we've actually been played into some sort of political strategist's hands.
Mm.
I feel like the country... I mean, when I was driving to the studio this morning, there were people on the side of the roads holding up signs.
Protesting.
And there's protesting.
The
and there's marches. And there's this feeling that we're getting... The country's getting what we have been asking for. Right?
Yes.
Because the majority of the country and a lot of people have gone, we want President Zuma to step down. People were marching for it. I was part of those marches where we were marching towards Pretoria.
Yes.
That's actually a song.
Marching towards Pretoria.
Marching to Pretoria. But here's my feeling, and I feel like we may almost be bamboozled. We've played into a political strategist's hands, and I'll tell you why. The vote of no confidence is going to be in a secret ballot. It's going through today.
Yes.
And most likely, I mean, I was listening to a couple of radio shows and podcasts on the way here. Most likely, we're going to get the president to step down. But then comes the morning after.
Mm-hmm.
The morning after, where we have to start dealing with a couple of things. And I can almost put my head on a chopping block to say that tomorrow morning, there will be a press release issued where the governments are going to say, we listened to the people.
And thank you.
No, we listened to the people. We've listened to you. Okay, we heard you. And we've made the right decision. And here's what's going to happen. South Africa are going to forget that this is the 8th vote of no confidence. South Africans are going to forget that they have marched for this and they have basically forced a hand. And South Africans are going to believe that the government did what was right.
Mm-mm.
I'm telling you.
So then, do you think that we're going to get the result that we want by tomorrow?
There was a saying and a quote that once said, a country gets the president that they deserve. And we voted Zuma in. Let's not forget that. We voted him in. We voted him in.
Mm-hmm.
And then he will leave and the next president will take his place. And unfortunately, I believe that the majority of South Africans have not only lost confidence in our president, but have also lost confidence in our government. If you're going to replace a figurehead with another figurehead that has the same morals and values, then we have a bigger problem.
Sure.
Better the devil you know.
And do you think that that's what's going to happen?
Kerry, it's been proven. It's been proven. Over the last couple of years, we have seen and we know, and it's everywhere. Corruption is deeply rooted within the leadership of this country.
Yes, that is correct.
All I can say is that I really hope to be proven wrong. I really hope that we wake up tomorrow and there's someone who has a conscience and someone who takes the stand who wants to lead for South Africa and not for themselves.
Well, I really hope for the country, actually, that that's what we get.
How refreshing would that be?
Completely. And then we wouldn't have this nonsense to deal with every day in the news.
It's bad. Like, if you see the international news and what's trending.
I know,
and
it's terrible.
We're a joke.
Yeah.
We're a joke.
And how can we actually deal with this? We've been dealing with it for how many years now?
I think that's also, it's a question that the government will face. If they do vote Zuma out, they're finally sort of accepting responsibility and agreeing with the majority of the population.
But that's what a lot of the interviews were yesterday.
Then the question is, why did you wait so long?
Exactly.
If you knew it was a problem, why did it have to be a vote of secrecy in order to do what is right? Do what is right.
Yeah, because dictatorship can't really be public.
Okay, so you, let's put money on this.
Okay.
What do you think's going to happen?
You know what? Even with a secret ballot, it's like, it's obvious.
You don't think that he'll step down?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No. No, 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 no.
Look, everything happens for a reason.
It really does.
And if it's going to go that way and he doesn't step down, it just leads a different vote in 2019 when it comes to the presidential election.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a big day for South Africa.
It is a big day.
It's a big day.
But it's also like, I think a lot of people are looking at it as predictable.
I think we're all going to be pleasantly surprised. I just hope.
Well, I jolly well hope we are, because
what I'm hoping for is that good stuff comes out of it. So, if the president steps down later this evening, we will have tequila to celebrate and champagne.
Okay.
And when it happens, I really do just hope that whoever comes in his place, I think Balega is going to be like the president or the interim president for the next 30 days, and then they choose the next. I hope that whoever takes the reins of South Africa, that they have South Africa in their hearts and they do it for South Africa and not themselves. That's all I'm saying.
I think we're all hoping for the same.
We can only hope.
Mm-hmm.
We can only
so hope. What are we betting then?
So I'm going to bet that Zuma is going to step down.
Okay.
And you say he's not.
No.
How much money are we putting on this?
I don't know.
I've got like $100 on me.
Okay, so deal. 100 rons.
We'll do 100 rons.
Okay.
And that's the wager.
Yes.
That is the wager.
Okay. It's a deal. Let's do it.
That's a 100 deal.
100 rands.
100 rands. What else is going... I mean, is there anything else going on in our country, or is that it right now?
I think that is the biggest, and then obviously all the other nonsense that's happening at the moment, but the fact that it is Women's Month and it's Women's Day tomorrow, on a happy note.
On a happy note.
Yeah. And obviously women's rights and stuff.
It's...
That's pretty much what's happening. Women's Month. And there's a lot more hype this year than it has been over the last few years, I think, as well. Like, people are starting to be more aware of what's going on and women's rights.
Well, I don't know if you saw over the weekend, again, government.
That's why I said.
H.
All the other nonsense. I cannot believe it. I'm actually,
that was in four ways, eh? That's down the road. That's down the road from me.
I know.
Down the road from me. So, for those of you that might not know, our deputy... Is it a deputy minister of education?
Yes.
The deputy minister of education was at a nightclub, which isn't actually a nightclub.
No,
it's like a restaurant bar thing.
Yeah.
But also a restaurant that stays open
turns
till 3 o'clock in the morning is not really a restaurant. And they were at Cubana in four ways. And, you know, sober as a judge.
At 3 a.m.
At 3 a.m. And he assaulted a woman and it was caught on camera.
It was horrendous. Did you watch it?
Why would I watch that?
It was shocking.
Tell me what happened.
So he literally pulled her by hair, threw her on the floor, and then he started standing on her. Like he was stepping on her head. Are you joking? Really?
No, man.
No, he was provoked, apparently, but I think that's just shocking. It's disgusting. You don't do that at all. At all to anybody. Male, female. No. No. I was shocked. I watched it last night and then I had to watch it again. I'm like, really? Is this happening? Did this happen? No. Come now.
That's hectic.
You don't do that to another human being.
No.
Anybody, not even an animal. Are you joking?
Jeepers.
No, it was shocking. And then you deal with it afterwards. Why? Because you're intoxicated and it was circumstantial and maybe you didn't like whatever the person was saying, but that's not the point.
It's also, you cannot, there's no way that you can make it okay. You can't justify it. There is no way.
There isn't. So, and now they say that law must take its rightful place in this situation. Right.
And it will, and there's the good stuff. There's the good stuff in that, I think.
And it's good, regardless of who he is. The fact that they pressed charges, that's a big thing. That's huge. And that the whole thing went viral. And then I know that there was a witness as well. He was actually on the news last night.
What?
The witness, yeah. He said he's never seen, and that people were just standing by watching. People that are supposed to protect you, security, bouncers, because it was taken out into the parking lot as well. So the securities, the bouncers, they did nothing. They just watched. Mm-mm. Mm-hmm.
But that, I mean, okay, so we're going to get off of that because it's not good news.
Thanks, Brent.
So I didn't mean to even start that conversation. We were talking about Women's Month. Women's Month is a positive thing. It's where we can highlight the amazing women in our country and women that are doing incredible, incredible things. And they are. I mean, we have, Thuli Madonsela, she has left the public protector office, but she's still fighting for us.
Very much so.
I don't know if you follow her on Twitter. She does a lot of good stuff on Twitter.
I do follow her on Twitter, and I know she does a lot of public speaking events as well. I know she's doing a lot of women's events this month as well, which is incredible. She really is. I mean, she's an amazing human being.
Thuli for president.
Yeah, exactly.
Thuli for president. I don't know if this is going to work. We're going to try and do our good stuff theme. Oh, there we go. No, it's the wrong one. I got the wrong cord. So every week, Kerry and I search, we scour the internet, we hunt high and low for good stuff. It's, you know, when we're not speaking about our president or our deputy ministers and all of those things and what they're doing, we actually bring you good news.
We do.
We bring you lots of good news. And today we're going to do more than five, I think. Let's just do however many we feel we want to.
Okay.
So, the first story that I want to talk about is... Okay, so a friend of mine called me last week and she said to me, Brenty, I've got this really heartbreaking story. A really heartbreaking story. A friend of hers that she used to work with, his name is Reino Slubber. Reino Slubber and his wife were traveling on a road in Cape Town. And they had their two kids in the back, kids under the age of 5.
Mm.
And they got into a terrible, terrible car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Like tragic.
Yeah.
That was a week ago Sunday. And they woke up in two different hospitals. They were transported to two different hospitals. They didn't have medical aid. Mm. They cut their medical aid to sort of save costs during these tough economic times, and they were both in two different hospitals, and they woke up to the news that they'd lost both their kids.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it's just fucking tragic. Like, it's maybe one of the worst things that I think anybody could ever go through. And my friend Kate was heartbroken on the phone, and she was just like, Brenty, we need to do something. We have to do something.
I know, and that's, she said as well, that no person should ever have to hear those words.
Well, totally, right?
Yeah.
So she contacted me, and I mean, I heard the story, and I just thought to myself, man, it's shocking. Like, it's shocking. So I said to Katie, I know how people react to things, right?
Mm.
I could write this story, but it won't get the traction that it deserves. And I know that sounds so... horrible.
No,
but it's the truth.
It is.
If I write about them,
yeah.
People will read the story and go, "Oh, shame." Like, that's sad.
Because it's not your story.
Yeah, and there's no call to action.
Yeah.
There's no call to action. So I said to Katie, set up a crowdfunding page.
Because
that's a way that you can help them. And it's a way that you can make a difference.
True.
And once you set up that crowdfunding page, then I'll write the story.
Yeah.
Because that gives it purpose. That gives it meaning. That means that people can help. And so she set up the crowdfunding page. Got hold of me that afternoon after she'd done it. Mm. And it was sitting at about 40,000 rand that they'd raised, like in a 12-hour period.
Yeah.
We wrote the story, and it's 48 hours later, and together South Africans have collectively raised almost 300,000 rand.
What? I can see you've got the page open there. That is amazing.
It's just shy of 300,000 rand.
And their goal is 700,000.
Yeah, what they've said, so Katie and another friend who had started the crowdfunding page, basically they'd worked out what the hospital bills could be and also what sort of rehabilitation and all of those things that they would need, what that would amount to. And they've rounded it up to the number of about 700,000 rand.
Because doesn't that also include the, because obviously they've got to have funerals for the kids and stuff like that.
Oh, shit, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. That's two.
So they've rounded up to the 700,000 number. And in the space of just 2 days, South Africans have pledged 300,000 rand to this family.
Amazing.
And it's still every day, every hour, it goes up. And I inherently believe that people want to do good. You just have to give them that platform to do it. And this is it's a very tragic story, but it's beautiful how South Africans are just giving
it,
of themselves.
I saw it, but I didn't want to read it. I saw it, and I procrastinated completely. I saw it because I saw the headline, and I was like, no, I can't. It took me a long time to read the story because you put yourself in their shoes. And that's what makes people get into the heart of giving, is that you put yourself in a situation like that, and that then prompts them to be like, you, they want to help.
Yeah.
And this is horrendous. I'm sorry.
Proper. It is incredibly sad. But the good stuff here is South Africans are pulling together to really just make a difference and help a family out, which I think
and
is amazing.
And in 48 hours, that is amazing. And they must just keep going because, I mean, it is going to be a long process.
Well, we'll keep pushing the story and sort of putting it on our social media sites and getting people to know about it. It will be on cliffcentral.com later when the show gets uploaded and you guys can head over to our page to see that information, which we'll put up there.
Yeah.
The next story that I want to bring up, it actually started going viral this morning.
Oh.
So Kerry has no idea what it's
about.
No,
I can see it, but I'm like, that's not my next one.
No,
my next one and your next one are different.
No. So
Let's go.
You prepare the next story. But I love this because these three women have gone viral.
Yes.
A South African video featuring a Cape Flats version of a Taylor Swift song is going viral. Not only because it's funny, but because it's really good too. The awesome video features three women, Felicity Kiran, Andre Amajur, and Lauren Lee.
Mm.
And they're from Cape Town, and they formed a group called Woman to Woman. And they actually went viral last year for another song.
Yes, I remember.
So I'm going to play the song that they've gone viral. I don't know if it's going to translate well because the video is quite funny. But I'll play the song. It's hilarious. These women, I mean, they're basically... Have a listen. You can have a listen.
Try to sort my microscope out so that the boys for me can float. That the boys for me can float.
They've got no teeth.
I need to get a dog with this boy called to ape. But see, he's not enough to save. He's not enough to save.
So it's the whole video is them basically mocking...
yes.
What would you say? Their Cape coloredness.
Mm.
Their hair's an absolute mess. They've blacked out their teeth. But it's all for a good cause. They're raising money for charity as well.
Yeah.
The video's already had 300,000 views.
What?
Yeah.
When did it go viral? I mean,
started over the weekend.
So soon.
Started over the weekend. And they've called themselves the Kardashians.
The Kardashians. I remember their videos from last year.
Yeah, they did a whole take on Beyonce's.
And then they went a little bit quiet, and now they've obviously made a comeback.
No, they're back, man. They're back with the Kardashians is what they call themselves. The Kardashians. Their last video, it was meant to be Irresistible by Beyonce, but they called it, what do they call it? Stublinks.
Mm.
They're very funny. We're going to put that up so that you guys can see the whole video in all its glory, as it is trending on social media currently. Kerry, what's the next story?
Must read. It's a powerful advice from a dying 24-year-old.
Oh, I hope this is good news.
Well, it is, actually, because it's given me a little bit of a... Oh, it has given me a wake-up call, and I think that's what the whole message behind the article is. Most of us go through our days on autopilot, not really living, but merely existing. He goes to say in this... article here that we have so much outwardly but feel so empty and lost on the inside. We allow our minds to keep us up late at night mulling over things that don't really matter in the end, such as bills, money, what others think of us, etc. He's like, why do we do this to ourselves? So
So he's 24 years old.
He's got cancer.
Yeah,
they found it too late. He's said in the article as well that he's even chosen the tie that he'll wear, his last tie. And he put an article up on Reddit. And he's basically put there in point form what he thinks. And
I guess it would be all of those points that are just relevant to where we are. And,
exactly.
You know, materialistic stuff doesn't matter.
No.
Experiences matter more. Your relationships with life matter with the people that you love and all of those things. And I think it's a cold, hard truth and a reminder. It reminds us of our mortality.
It really does. But, I mean, in essence, people do think about these things, but they don't think about these things because they think there will be a tomorrow and a day after that. And for him... it's a matter of minutes, hours.
Yeah. Possibly. So over the weekend, I went to John Edward. Remember, we interviewed him. Yes. So we interviewed him a couple of weeks ago. And he was on the show. We'll link back to that podcast so you can pick up on that. It was an incredible interview. He is just very interesting.
Mm.
Interesting. So I got to go to the show on Saturday. We went backstage to meet him.
Yes.
In the beginning of the show.
I know you've been looking forward to that for months.
Sorry. So got to meet him, and he's so flipping down to earth. So down to earth.
But he was like that when we spoke to him on the phone.
Yeah, when we did the interview. It was the same. So he starts the show, and, you know, I don't know how many people the teatro holds. It's like 1,200.
Mm.
He's standing on the stage, a big empty stage, and he's got 1,200 desperate people staring back at him. Everybody in that room was there because they wanted to connect with someone. They wanted to feel something. They needed closure. They needed understanding. And I think that's a tough task for someone to face who's in that position. But he did it so well. And I guess there's a lot of people that are skeptical about what it is that he does.
Yeah.
But I believe after seeing his show that he is like a motivational speaker.
He is definitely.
And he gives people the closure that they've been looking for.
Exactly.
So during the show, like he starts off the show and he explains what it is that he is going to do.
How long was it?
Almost 3 hours.
Oh, wow.
It was, and to keep an audience captivated for almost 3 hours is mental. Is mental. Mm. So he stood on the stage and he starts off the show by going, this is how I'm going to do what I do. And he breaks the ice and there's a couple of like jokey jokes and you laugh. And
he's having a bit of chat and he's interacting.
He's interacting. Then he goes, and I'm going to open up the floor for you to ask me a question.
Oh.
So I don't want you to stand up and go, is my mother with you? Like, that's not the question I'm looking for. You need to ask me.
Personal.
Is that, well, something personal, that's been on your mind.
Yes,
You know, are there different planes where people live?
Mm, like, yes.
On the other side. Those sorts of questions. Like, let's talk. And out of the whole theater, about 10 people stood up and the mic runners came and they gave them microphones. I didn't stand up. I know you're looking at me like that. I didn't stand up.
We had already spoken to him. We asked him
Correct.
Questions.
We asked him all those questions.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these 10 people stood up and the first person, they sort of asked, what is the other side? What is the other side? Mm. Is it different planes? Is it different areas? Is it different Earth? And he basically, like, the way he answered it was, you are all from different areas in South Africa and Johannesburg.
Mm.
But you've all come together tonight here.
Yeah.
So you're from different areas, but you've come together.
Mm.
It's like that on the other side. So there's all these different areas, but on a night like tonight, the spirit world come together.
Yeah.
And everybody here is meant to be here. So you followed some sort of path to get you here. Then he said something very interesting. He said, I'm going to, because then what happens is he sort of moves in that area where someone was asking a question and he speaks to someone there, basically. So like he went, for that specific question, he went, Kelly, there's someone sitting there, Kelly, and she's pregnant, but nobody really knows yet. And this woman stood up and she went, my sister's name's Kelly and she's pregnant. She's not here tonight. But no, not many people do know. And John's like, well, we'll keep it quiet now, won't we? But there's 1,200 people that do know. So it was quite funny. And then he starts with the reading. But what he said during that time is if the people that do get read, they generally are left with more questions.
Yeah, I would.
The people that don't get read are getting answers through everybody else.
Yeah.
So you're getting answers through everybody else. And you know what, Keir? He touched on so many different subjects, so many different facets. And the things that he read was pretty damn spot on. Things like the one woman, I mean, half the theater was in tears because she had a daughter who was disabled and it was an incredibly sad story.
Mm.
And she wasn't giving him anything. And he was painting the full picture and she broke down into tears. It was, you know, so specific.
Mm, sure.
It was spot on. And I think we all walked away knowing something a little bit more about ourselves and about, you know.
Did you feel like a closeness, all 1,200 of you?
Yeah.
You walked away like, we're like family now.
Yeah. I mean, I would recommend going to one of his shows. Ish. Just to sort of be there and to hear his insight. I mean, he's been doing it for 33 years.
Well, I had a different view after we interviewed him, really.
Yeah.
And I think the skeptics that probably went also have a different view now that they've seen him.
Totes.
Yeah.
Totes. Anyway, yeah. So again, that all brings back to your we're mortal.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got to appreciate every moment for what it is right now.
And that's basically also what he was saying to us in our interview. It gave us a bit of
peace. Totally. So be humble. Stay humble in everything you do. Don't let your ego get to you. Ego is a terrible monster. It's a terrible monster. And always trust your intuition.
And just be a good human being.
We love good human beings. Mm. We love good human beings. Story that I want to bring up is an incredible human being from Cape Town, a traffic officer,
Yay.
Has been rewarded for never giving up on a homeless teen. Did you read the story?
I did read bits and pieces of it.
Yeah. She met a homeless teen and worked tirelessly. I can't say the word.
Tirelessly.
Thank you. To reunite him with his family again. She literally just did everything possible to help this kid out.
Really?
Yes. Kerry's like, how did I miss that story?
I know. I'm like, what?
Yeah. Nola Sindiso. Yeah. She worked tirelessly to help this kid get back to his family. And what's cool is
Do you know how difficult that is?
She did it without wanting the recognition. She was doing it to help him. And somebody picked up on the story. And the city of Cape Town then rewarded her. And just acknowledged her and said, well done for being a good human.
That is amazing. Because, I mean, we could do with less people on the street.
I didn't know what you were going to say there. 100%, you're right.
What did you think I was going to say?
We could do with less people in the world. No, you're right. You're 100%
right. We could really do with less people sleeping on the street. And all of them have a story. They've all got a story. And, I mean, they're just neglected. They're neglected human beings. And, I mean, whether they're children or adults, they've all got a story. They've all got somewhere they should be, but they're not.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. Well
so
done.
A really good story. We're going to post that up online so that you can catch up with the good news as well. Keir, give us one more.
Okay.
Are you not ready?
No, I am. I had one open, but then I went into that one and I'm like, what? Finally home, South African Al-Qaeda hostage, Stephen McGowan has been released after 6 years.
So, how crazy is that?
Yeah. He was captured by the Al-Qaeda in Mali 6 years ago when he was on a trip to Timbuktu.
And he was captured, he was in a restaurant at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have, and I do commend them for the work that they've done over the last 6 years, you know, the gift of the givers and government.
Not really government. It was the gift of the givers. Yes. Governments are not allowed to go into hostage negotiations. That's like a standard thing around the world. Yeah. So the gift of the givers did it for them.
They've been supporting for the last 6 years. And I heard an interview as well the other day when they said that, you know, they're happy to have him back. The government was saying, and that they also, you know, his mom had passed away 2 months before as well, his return. So he missed his mom by 2 months. So the fact that he's out and then he's back is amazing. And obviously he's now just got to rebuild his life, but he's here after 6 years.
I hope that that he gets the support that he deserves, and I hope that he does. It must be so difficult to be in that position for 6 years.
And well done to Gift of the Givers and everyone that brought him home.
Absolutely incredible. We're going to put that story up online. All of them go online onto the Cliff Central page directly after the show, so that you can watch the videos and catch up with the stories and understand what's going on in the world. Next up, we have our interview with a bunch of kids from Vega who created a really awesome, it's an initiative to make South Africans proud of South Africa again. I got to chat to them, which was pretty cool. But before we leave you with that, I'm gonna leave you with my quote now.
Good idea.
Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
We need to stay motivated. We need to inspire others. We're in this together, and the only way we'll get through this is together. I'm gonna leave you with something quite simple today. Leave people better than you found them. This is the essence of being. It's that simple. Just be a good human, as Kerry would say.
Good this, Tuesday.
This is the good stuff on Cliff Central.
Good stuff. You're with Brent Lindekue, and every week we get to interview incredible South Africans that are doing amazing things. I have got two students from Vega that are sitting with me, and we're going to be chatting about what they've done with Lead SA that's causing a bit of a stir. Welcome to the good stuff, guys.
Thanks for having us.
That's cool. You apparently have the flu. It's a very gruff voice. I said it's better for radio. It makes you just sound a little bit more gruffy. Who do we have in studio with us?
I'm Zanri Marais.
And I'm Jan Esterhazen.
And you guys are with Vega. You're studying at Vega?
Yes, I'm a second-year interior design student at Vega, yes.
And yourself?
I'm a visual communication student with the IIE.
It's first year or second year?
Second year.
Second year, okay. So you're studying second year. You're sort of getting things going and adding value to the education system so that you can one day join the job market. And you guys have done something with Lead SA, which is a pretty cool initiative. Could you tell us a little bit more about it?
Okay, so the brief was very simple. They approached us and said that they needed an activation piece for the 702 Walk the Talk. And we had to create a wall, basically. And the main purpose was to get people involved and the people walking the talk to make their mark on our wall and to engage with our design process, basically.
Was it their idea to put the wall there, or did you guys go, actually, you're going to have people walking past, you've got this traffic, maybe we should put a wall up? Like, who came up with that idea?
I think the brief was very open, so there was a lot of conceptualization going on in the beginning, coming up with different designs, and it was quite challenging, because for the walk the talk, you don't want to, like, disrupt the flow, or, like, interrupt the flow of people. And
yeah, you cause a hell of a traffic jam.
Yeah. And it was quite amazing on the day. People actually started crowding around our installation piece, which made us very happy, which made us proud of our design and made us, like, believe in it, see how it worked.
If I was on Walk the Talk and I was walking past this wall, what would I do at the wall?
Okay. It felt a lot bigger when we were building it at home or at Vega. And then when we got there, it was actually really small in comparison to everything else. So there are a few things you could do. On the one side, you could leaf your love for SA. So you could write on a little leaf why you love South Africa. And we love South Africa, so it was fun for us because we got to see why other people love this beautiful country. And on the other side, those were on different trees, different important trees in South Africa. Then on the other side, you could link... different words as to why you walked. So that was really fun to see. Some people walked for family and for their dogs, for charity to raise money and stuff. So they made really cool patterns with wool. So it was really fun. It made like a beautiful overall piece at the end.
I think what's really cool about it is seeing those good stories and seeing the love for South Africa. I think sometimes we need a little bit of a reminder. We get so bogged down with the reality of sort of what mainstream media is showing, what the news is talking about. It can sometimes feel a little bit overwhelming. But when you're seeing an installation like that, that you guys have created, I can imagine that it's inspirational.
Yeah, it's so rewarding for us because you just see these positive vibes, positive energy, people that love their friends and love the country for the weather, for the people.
There was actually a note that someone left that said, I'm going to make you proud, South Africa. And that's the one that stood out the most for me, you know.
Yeah.
We've all just looked at our arms. we got goosebumps, man. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
So someone, a young person coming up there and saying, this is me and I want to make I want to make South Africa proud, you know.
It is really cool. What's happened to the installation from there? I mean, walk the talk's over. You guys had this incredible concept. I hope it's gone somewhere.
It's been gifted to the 702 studio. So the lead SA guys have it in their office, I think.
Okay, so I was there last week. I did a talk for lead SA. They asked me to stand on stage for whatever reason and talk crap because that's what I do really well. Their offices are huge, so I need to go back and look for it. We did, if you think of like a building, it's like 5 or 6 stories, and we were on the eventing floor. So it's like where their events and stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't exactly see it, but I'm gonna have to call Diane McAlpine, who I work with at lead SA.
She's amazing.
She's incredible.
We worked with her, yeah.
Yeah, Di, if you're listening to this, we all think you're incredible.
We love you so much. She was the biggest trooper. She helped. She was like getting sunburned for us. She took sacrifice.
Were you guys there on the day as well?
Yeah, we were.
It must have been just so incredible. I've been to a couple of walk the talks, and it is, people are walking for different reasons. You've captured that on this wall. But physically, I mean, it's like the walking version of the cycle challenge, because everybody cycles for a reason. Everybody's out there walking for a good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incredible.
That's amazing.
So that was your first project with Lead SA. Did it inspire you to, I don't know, do more for South Africa? Is there something inside of you that you're like, now I need to make a change? Like, I need to go out there and do something.
Yeah, I always feel like that. I always feel like I need to make a difference to the country because I live in it. So as a citizen, I feel like I should be making an active attempt at making it better. Like, I love this country. Every time someone says something bad, I'm like, no, don't be ugly about my country.
I love that, to be proud of South Africa. Again, last week when I was at Lead SA, and I got to meet some of the heroes, because every month they choose one person who is a hero and who they feel has done exactly what you're talking about, taking everything that they love about the country and putting it forward and doing something. And it's so crazy that the smallest things can turn into the biggest things and can turn into these stories of people making a difference in South Africa. And I think collectively, what you guys did would have made a difference. It would have inspired others as well to have seen that. How many people were part of the group that created this?
There were three of us.
Just three of you?
Yeah.
That's absolutely phenomenal.
There were more people involved, but it was more behind the scenes. So yeah. There was a lecturer that guided us in the right direction.
Yeah, and Elenza, you're amazing also.
If you're listening, which I hope you are, you're amazing.
You're amazing.
but I think the majority of the work was done by students. And,
yeah, three students and then lecturers and lecturers' brothers, Marilee and Walter, they were so great.
That's very cool. Very cool. I'm going to get some photos from you guys so we can put it up online so that everybody can see what we're talking about. Because it's difficult on radio to sort of explain what this installation was. And if I can find it at the studios at Lead SA 702, I'm going to go hunt for them. And I'll take photos of that as well.
I don't think it would be on one of the top floors because the boxes are quite big.
They're so heavy.
they're about 1.8 meters high. And about 2.7 meters across.
Wow.
And there's three of them.
Wow.
And they're so heavy.
Okay, so, I mean, this was this year, right? I don't know if you're going to be part of Walk the Talk next year, but I'm sure you're saying you want to change the country, you want to do good stuff. You guys, this is the talk that I flippin' gave at Lead SA, that it doesn't stop with one project. And I hope that you guys have got something in the bag and that you're planning something else so that we can feature you again. And
we definitely hope to be involved again next year. And even with other Lead SA projects, we'd love to be involved.
Diane, I hope you're listening. You have a team of people that want to get behind you and help, and they're clever and they're creative and they can make this stuff happen. We're going to put that up online. If anybody wants to, I mean, Vega, you guys are creative, you're amazing, you're doing incredible things. If they want to get involved with you or sort of see what you're doing or come and visit the varsity, the campus, how do they get in touch? How does it work?
Well, they can follow us on social media. They have @VegaSchoolOfficial on Instagram. I'm sure there's some Vega Joburg Facebook page somewhere. Yeah, or they could phone Vega Bordeaux or Pretoria. There's campuses everywhere. Pretoria, Joburg, Cape Town and Durban. So they can phone and come and speak to us. We have the SLB, so there's anyone that they can come and talk to about how design can make a difference.
What's nice about Vega is it's almost like a family. Everyone knows everyone there. So if you just come in and ask for a student, then the chances are likely that they're going to know who you're talking about.
Yeah,
so
come speak to really us. Great. It's fun. We'd love to like show people around and stuff.
That's incredible. I'm going to come visit you. And maybe we can do some good stuff together. Maybe I'll come there for a brainstorm and we figure out what we do. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. I'm going to put all of that, the pictures up online. So if you visit the page right now, you're going to see exactly what it is that these guys did and maybe get involved with the conversation. They're creative. They're designers. They do really cool stuff. If you think that they could do something to help you or to make a difference and to be proudly South African, they've given you all of their details. I'll put it up on the page. And you can get hold of them there. Thank you very much for being part of the good stuff. It's been great having you in studio. Your gruff voice is really talented. You should keep that. Try keep that.
Definitely not.
Thank you very much.
If you guys want to give your own social media handles quickly, do that. This is a push. Do it right now.
Okay. I am Jan_@Esterhazen. That's my Instagram. I'm not very active on Facebook or anything like that. I've shied away from
You're
Facebook.
A millennial, right? That's why.
His Instagram's really good. He's got cool photos and stuff. I'm black_bird_z. I just post fun things.
It's that easy. We're going to put those up online as well. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central.
On radio. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.